Welcome to the Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're growing a brand around your nerdy passion, you can learn from business and marketing podcasts, or you can learn from nerds like you. This is the show built by bloggers, cosplayers, gamers, artists, and other entrepreneurs that are making the things you love. How's it going, entrepreneurs? Welcome to episode 54 of the Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Tim, aka Under the Capes, and a really great episode for you today. Really excited for this one. A great episode for cosplayers. First, for the encouraging an entrepreneur section, I want to encourage you guys. I want to tell you about something that I have just started. So Coaching for Geeks is a great community and site that helps geeks improve business, fitness, dating, everything. And they have a great Facebook community where everyone kind of comes together and offers advice. And they are now offering a mentorship program. So you can go on their Facebook and find a bunch of people that are offering their experience as a mentor. And I just started a 6-week mentor program with the creator of Coaching for Geeks, Robin Bates. And that's going to be really great. We're a week in already, and it's already helped prioritize a lot of the stuff that I want to do with the podcast. And yeah, so I'm hoping the next 6 weeks we'll see a lot of progress on this front. So that's really exciting, and I would recommend checking it out and seeing if one of the mentors could be a good fit for you and help you along on your entrepreneur journey. So this week's guest is Amy from Strange Porcelain Cosplay, and this is a great episode for anyone trying to build a cosplay brand or join a cosplay community. Strange Porcelain Cosplay, she does a lot of awesome cosplay tutorials, makeup tutorials. She's got some great, she does a lot of costumes and does a lot of great Instagram content specifically and content all over. And she also is part of a number of cosplay groups where people who dress as similar characters come together to attend events together, promote each other, film, you know, group videos and group photos and all that great stuff. She's part of the Northeast Avengers, the Asgardians of the Galaxy, and her first group was the Northeast Ghostbusters. And this is a good warning to podcasters to make sure that you are always recording your podcast with as many backups as possible and really, you know, checking your connections before and after, because I actually got an opportunity to sit down with all of the Northeast Ghostbusters over a Skype call. And Amy was joined by Gwyneth, a.k.a. Jen Tate Cosplay, and Emma, a.k.a. Precantrix Cosplay. And they talked a lot more about, you know, forming the Northeast the Northeast Ghostbusters and everything that goes along with that, and coordinating that with their individual cosplay brands. And unfortunately, the connection was not good enough, where the audio recording of that didn't come out right. And I wasn't able to use any of the interview that we did, which was really unfortunate, because it was a really great interview. And Amy, Strange Porcelain Cosplay, was able to come back on, and we recorded an interview with just her, which we got a lot of great stuff out of, and I think you're going to enjoy this one. The audio is much better. We talk about the cosplay groups that she's a part of. We talk about Cosplosion, which was a cosplay family-focused event that she completely organized and put on. And just a lot of great advice for cosplayers, creating content, branding, promotion. I think you guys are going to get a lot out of this episode, so let's dive right on in. All right, I'm now joined by Amy Telford, a.k.a. Strange Porcelain Cosplay. Amy, thanks for joining me.
Hello, you're very welcome.
So
thank
you
for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so can you tell me a little bit about how you got started with cosplay and how it became your cosplay brand?
You know what it is? I get asked this question a lot, and I genuinely have no idea. I've drawn a blank completely as to how I got into cosplay. It's almost like there was my life, and then there was cosplay. There is no in-between. I just, honestly, it's like Sith. It's just absolute cosplay or not cosplay. I think it has something to do with around our way, there weren't many comic cons, and all of a sudden there was this big event that turned up in one of our towns, and a friend of mine who had a rough idea what cosplay was, but we just saw us dressing up, said, would you like to come along? And we went down as characters from Final Fantasy, and it kind of stemmed from there. At the time, I didn't know what cosplay was. I didn't really have it, you know, a concept of it in my head. I just assumed we were dressed up as characters going to an event. And then we came back, and then it turns out it's an actual thing. And even over the past few years, it has grown dramatically. And I don't know, I seem to be doing it an awful lot. So it's just now part of my life, unfortunately.
Yeah, like when you're spending your whole life dressing up as a kid and then you switch and there's an official name for it. Like, I guess you don't really notice like, oh, yeah, I guess I'm cosplaying now.
Yeah, it's like it's got an official job title now, hasn't it? It's just like my mum's very not really in the kind of social media, you know, universe. So she still just sees it me as dressing up. She'll be like, oh, are you dressing up again at the weekend? You know, where she grew up. And it's like, no, it's a serious thing. Like there's actual art involved. But I think she's coming around to it now. I think she just doesn't like that my bank balance goes down significantly every month because of it. I built it, you know?
Yeah, it's a significant investment for sure.
Yeah. Oh, it's all right. My bills come out straight away. Then whatever's left over goes on cosplay. So it's all right. My house is still mine.
There you go. Yeah. I should do that more. I gotta make cosplay less of a line item on the budget.
I know. I don't know how to budget. It's like, do I buy bread and eggs today or do I buy a wig? Oh. Yeah. Decisions. I think I can live without the food. But yeah, quite often now, actually, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then when did you decide to create Strange Porcelain Cosplay? Was that just kind of organically you were posting stuff or did you set out to create a brand around it? How did that get started?
Honestly, again, it's another one of those questions where it just one day it was there. I know where the name came from. It was very much, believe it or not, when I was on the dating scene. A lot of people called me strange for my choices. Like, I don't drink. So, well, that's strange. Oh, I dress up as the weekends. Well, that's strange. And it was just that one word, and it was on multiple occasions. I was like, hang on, why is this word cropping up every 5 seconds? Strange. And I just took in my stride and go, yeah, I am strange, if that's how you're going to play it. And the porcelain's just to do with the fact that I'm very pale. And it was just someone went, you're not pale, you're porcelain. I was like, oh, there it is. There's the word. And then it kind of just branched from there. I noticed that a lot of people who were cosplaying had names or tags alongside it so that you can kind of keep life separate. You know, I'm Amy Telford by day and then I'm Strange Porcelain, you know, in my free time. So even in events and stuff, aren't approached as Amy. You're approached as Strange Porcelain. Strange Porcelain dressed as whoever. This thing for me because it does mean I can keep my life separate. You know, I've got my professional career as a teacher and then I've also got my cosplay and hobby, although the two do merge every now and again.
Yep. Yeah, I like that strange isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No, not at all. I think sometimes if people approach you with some kind of negativity, it's just best to embrace it and go, you know what, yeah, I am strange, or maybe you're the strange one for not accepting that line of whatever inquiry it was. You know, you can always turn it against it. And I think cosplay, for all it has its ups and downs, you do kind of embrace that that strangeness, but it's unique, you know, and I take it in my stride. So yeah, it's my armor now.
Yeah, and it is a situation, especially like in the overall like Comic-Con and cosplay community, where the more unique, the better.
Exactly, yeah. I think as well, like, it gives you that opportunity to embrace that. You know, if there is a certain quirk that you have, then this kind of community will accept that and embrace it and you know, flaunt it, really. You know, oh my God, she's dressed as, you know, a giant dragon witch. That's amazing. Rather than she's dressed as a giant dragon witch, get her sent to the, you know, nut house. But yeah.
Yeah, and you've kind of benefited really well from meeting other strange people at conventions. Like you've started a lot of cosplay groups around that. How did that come about? Was it just meeting unique people at cons?
But that's the thing, like before cosplay, and like I say, it is still a fairly new concept for me. It was 2016 when I started forming different groups where I met people local to me, and I was like, oh my God, they do this thing too. It's a real thing. And to be honest, the first group I really had was to do with the Ghostbusters. So the 2016 Ghostbusters reboot came out, and I went to a con dressed as Holtzman, one of the characters in it. And it was received really well. And then through heaven knows what, I really don't know how they got in touch. Gwyn and Emma, who are like two of my best friends, turned up one day, and they were the other Ghostbuster characters, and then we joined together, and I was like, oh my God, we three weirdos like Ghostbusters. And then because we looked quite like the characters, you know, the audience embraced us, and you know, the people at cons embraced us, and then it was like, oh, this is a thing. And now that we've become friends, and like I say, I did not know these guys before 2016, and now they are, you know, my best friends in the world. And it was cosplay that introduced us to each other. It was something that we all did separately, but then together as a group, we were able to do this amazing thing. And, you know, it has branched out further than Ghostbusters now. Don't get me wrong. We absolutely adore those characters, but we do all sorts now. And, you know, they're a part of my life. And I have to thank cosplay for that, because if I didn't do that, I wouldn't know these people at all. And it's the same for, you know, the Northeast Avengers. They are also people who I never would have met had cosplay not been, you know, something that I did. I turned up one day as Gamora, and then these people were also dressed as Avengers, and they kind of just brought you into the fold and were like, yeah, come and join us. And then, you know, again, they're part of my life now. And that was only 3 years ago. Before that, I will admit, I quite literally had nobody, and now I have a family, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it seems like you've been really lucky as far as these people have just kind of found you and said, you know, come on in.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I did do before I met these guys, I would go to local things by myself. I thought, you know what, I don't know anyone who does this, but I'm going to go anyway. And again, like you say, they were very welcoming. They embraced you, you know, and they do that a lot. Like our Northeast Avengers group has, you know, we've gained new members, we've lost members who've decided to grow up and be proper adults. And again, we've branched off into different little groups within that. So we've got Asgardians of the Galaxy now, who are like your Thors and your Guardians of the Galaxy characters, who are another family. And it's just, you know, I'm really grateful that this hobby has turned out to, you know, be a massive part of my life and, you know, give me direction. Granted, it has its downside, but for the most part, you know, I have to be grateful that I now have friends because of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, any advice for someone looking to start a cosplay group or join one?
I think basically using social media as a shout out, like for us, for some of our characters. So for the Asgardians, for example, if I use them as an example, Carl, who does our Star-Lord, we met at a charity event. It was called Chuff. It's for the Heart Unit Foundation in Newcastle. And he was dressed as Star-Lord. It was like, oh my God, your Star-Lord's amazing. You know, why don't you come along to one of the events? We're doing this and, you know, we have a Thor and whatnot. And then if you want another character, we usually just shout out, has anyone got a Gamora outfit? That would be swell. And for our Gamora, Natalie, who was an amazing person, she's just lush. I don't know how she fell in my life as well. We met her at Gateshead Comic-Con, which was a local one. She was dressed as Gamora. And then Chris, our Loki, I know there's a lot of names been thrown about, but Chris, our Loki, said, oh, Natalie, just Gamora, why don't we invite her along and, you know, whatever. And again, Natalie's now part of our family, you know, and it keeps growing. Basically just asking people to shout out. I mean, don't be shy. There are people out there that want to be part of groups. It's just sometimes they don't know if they're allowed. And I know that sounds really trivial. Like, people do think they need to ask permission to be part of these things, and they don't. You know, cosplayers are very welcoming, you know. I know there's the dark side where people will look at your costume and go, well, I'm Gamora, so therefore you can't be. But there's also a lot of people who are like, oh my God, you're Gamora, why don't you come and join us today? I'm just as Gamora, it's amazing. So my advice really is just ask. Shout it from the roof. I need these people in a group. Who wants to come? And they will come, you know, ask and they will come, or whatever the correct term is. I don't know. There's some famous quote in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's not really like, you know, two people at a party dressed the same. It's more like, yeah, you know, if you see someone in the same costume, it's like, oh, how'd you make this? How'd you make that? Like, that's amazing. And instant friends.
Yeah, it's good that we have that. Like I say, there is the flip side where you will have, you know, the bitching and the not very niceties. But you have that in any aspect of your life. You know, you can have it at work, you can have it at school. So why would cosplay be any different? But for the most part, you do have people, you know, coming up to you going, oh my gosh, you're dressed as the character I am. That's like, how did you do that? That's fantastic. Like, I use this. And they're like, oh no, try this instead. And, you know, it helps your own, like, professional development as well. I know that sounds really, you know, ridiculous when you say it like that. But it's true. Like, I'll meet other people who are dressed as characters I'd either love to do or have done. Like, why? How did you do that? And it'll be something, you know, sometimes it can be something really simple where you go, oh my God, I never thought of that. And then on the other side, it'll be like, right, I'm definitely going to YouTube that when I get in, because I have no idea what you just said, but okay.
Yeah, and that, how do you guys organize it kind of logistically? Like, you guys do a lot of photo shoots together, a lot of events together. You're managing your social media pages. How does all that work?
You know what? I have no idea. Like, the one question I get asked, because... as I've mentioned before, I'm a teacher, so my day is literally like 8 o'clock till 6, maybe beyond that. And in that 1 hour period between bedtime and coming in, throwing together cosplay, I think it's just making sure you have time for you and that it's not all to do with cosplay. I think sometimes if cosplay becomes a job, then it becomes less fun. I think for me, I just make sure I've got 5 minutes spare. Why not stick on a wig? That would be swell. I think with photo shoots, we just try to work around people with a day that suits everybody, which is really difficult most of the time. I know that when we did a really big Northeast Avengers shoot at a local museum, and they all stood on the wing of a Vulcan. But getting that day was absolutely ridiculous. You need like your online diaries, right? Everyone get your diary out. When can we do it? And it'll be like, oh, well, Saturday the 25th. That's nice. And then someone will go, nope, can't, wedding. Right, okay, what about Sunday the 20th? No, can't. Okay, let's try August. You know, it does require a lot of planning, but it's pay off. Like, I think maybe for cosplay, it got to a point where I was making it part of my routine, and therefore it became laborious, it became, you know, stressful. Whereas now I've kind of backed down and gone, you know what, I'll just do it when I can be bothered. And it's so much more fun doing that, because it is a hobby. It's meant to be fun. So if it's not, then you're not doing something right, in my opinion. I think if it becomes too stressful, then why are you doing it?
Personally? Yeah, I think that's great. You found the balance there.
Yeah. I think as well, because I've introduced it to my class, so I can kind of make it fun in that sense. Like, we are currently, I teach in reception, which is like the American equivalent of kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And, we are doing Around the World in 80 Days, and I specifically picked Japan because I love the culture and everything, and I've managed to squeeze cosplay in there. Right, guys, Japan like doing cosplay. Here's some wigs. Here's some costumes. Go ahead, dress up. Granted, they broke my goggles within like 5 seconds. And every wig's probably full of nits, but that's fine. I'll never use them again.
Yeah. Awesome. And then, yeah, the other thing that you do a lot of is you create some great, like, video content. Like, it's I struggle alone just like making a costume or two a year, but you're also like taking a lot of pictures. You do a lot of great videos on your Instagram.
Thank you.
Is that all just like fun stuff that you're doing while you're doing it, or do you set time specifically aside for that? How does that work?
Lately, I know I've been doing a lot more videos, but I've been trying to kind of force myself to video my own process. So I've been doing a lot of makeup tutorials just on a whim. It's usually just on a whim. I've got this really nice ring light now, so I like to use it a lot. And I know that a lot of people are going, oh, I love your makeup. How did you do it? And I'm like, I've got some brushes and, you know, I did something on my nose. And it's just literally putting my phone there and videoing it in short bursts so that I actually have it there. And then I could maybe look back and go, oh, yeah, I did that. Or I didn't do that. And, you know, I can see, I can show off a sort of confidence within my videos because nobody's here. Like, I can actually absolute fool because I know no one's here. And it's how I am in real life. So when you see me in my videos acting a bit ridiculous, it's probably because I am. But there's no one here in my house, so why wouldn't I? Yeah. You know, I probably swore a million times or I poked myself in the eye with a pen. I know that I went live on Instagram once talking about burning myself with a hot glue gun, and I burnt myself with the hot glue gun while talking about it. And you see me swearing and pulling the glue from my fingers along with the skin and all sorts. And I think sometimes it's just remembering that, you know, to have the phone there. I'll video it if I can remember. I won't bother if I don't. In terms of like professional video content, like I say professional, I mean something more edited, I'd have to plan for it. Like my friend Gary, who's 8-bit beard, I usually just text him on a whim and go, are you free tomorrow night? Fancy going to the beach? And we'll turn up at the beach and we'll just wing it. And to be honest, he's kind of coined a term for me, which is the art of winging it, which is exactly what I do. It's just if on a whim I can be bothered to do something, I'll do it. Yeah. If I can't be bothered, I'll not bother. But in terms of like the video, like the kind of time lapse stuff, it is just I'll have my phone there when I'm playing around. If it goes well, I'll post it. If it went horribly, horribly wrong, then I'll not bother. And I'll delete all the footage and every bit of evidence that it ever happened. Like the other day, I got to do it there. But I think I know that a few people had asked if I could show them what I do. I mean, I'm in no way like the professional level, heavens no. But if people want to see how I do it, then by all means, I'll show as much as I can remember to do. But it is literally as simple as if I remember to press play on my phone, you get a video. If I totally forget, like I did the other day when I was halfway through makeup and went, oh, didn't video that at all. What an idiot. Then you'll not get it. So,
yeah, I think that's a great approach of just kind of videoing everything and whatever comes out well, you can do. And that that strangeness comes out in the stuff that you do post. And it's kind of it makes it more engaging.
Oh, thanks. I think the term's eccentric.
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word strange if it wasn't your brand.
Exactly. Honestly, like, I have a boyfriend and I invited him over and went, oh, would you like to come over and see me dress up? And he's like, yeah, come on over. And then there's me, literally full on beard, like, facial prosthetics, latex, old man hair, and going, what do you think? Isn't this amazing? But yeah, like, I do what I do because I enjoy it. I'm getting to the point finally where I'm like, you know, I couldn't care toss what people think. You know, if they don't like something, then they don't, but I do. That's why there's a lot of characters appearing on my Instagram that maybe aren't mainstream. Like Evie from The Mummy. I love and love that movie. And I thought I'll give it a try. Didn't work all that well, but that's my advice for people who want to cosplay. Just bloom and do it. Don't care what people do, because I know there was a meme on Facebook which I found hilarious, which was like the different years, and it was showing you what cosplayers would be in an event. And so it was like last year was all Captain Marvel, and then the year before was all Harley Quinn. And it's exactly what Instagram's like. Everyone has the same costume, and I think, you know, that's boring, in my opinion. Be strange, be weird, be unique, be yourself.
Yeah, especially I think because some of the costumes that you might do now that you really love and are fringe things then become super popular in a year or two, and you're kind of the one that already has the content out there, and you've already beaten the rush.
You know, I have noticed that a little bit. I'll be like, oh, I've done that, but why is everyone doing it? Why? Or like, I've noticed that a lot of it's like it's nostalgia at the moment, and I think it's our nostalgia. Say our, I don't know how old anyone is. Like, I'm in my 30s, and like it's the 90s nostalgia that's coming back. So everyone's doing like Rugrats emblem, and, you know, I don't know, I'm not saying Ren and Stimpy, but that might be a fun one to try. You know, like the wild Thornberrys and stuff, and that they're doing all of these weird costumes that you'd never think about. But people like it. People like to see the weird and wonderful. So I would encourage that massively. Like, I don't mind if people suggest things to me. They'll suggest random things and I'll be like, ah, good idea. Or no, that's no.
Yeah, is there any, like, how do you, are you coming up with ideas? Is it just kind of whatever strikes your fancy at this time? Or is it based on feedback? Or?
Pretty much. You know what it is? This is why I have no money. It's always dependent on what I'm watching at the time. Mm. So my cosplay choices change every 5 seconds depending what I'm watching at the time. So, for example, I'm watching Riverdale at the moment. I'm like, oh, I really want to do Veronica Lodge, so I'm doing Veronica Lodge. I'm now watching The Expanse, and I'm like, no, can't have anything from The Expanse. Or like Vikings, I started watching Vikings, and I was like, oh, Lagatha, that's who I want to do. And it is very much, if I see a character that I particularly like, I'll try it out. Or if I want to challenge myself, for example, I've seen Alice and Tabitha's Nebula, and I'm like, you know what, I could do that. I could maybe try. So obviously I bought myself a ball cap. I had a try of it the other night. It worked okay. It's not a great ball cap, but at least I gave it a try, and that's how I work. But it is very much, if I see something I like it, I'll do it, even if it's bizarre, even if it's a dude. Which has become more and more the way I'm working, which is shocking. I feel like I look better as a man than I do as a lady. But yeah, this is why no one knows what I look like.
That's why you've gotten so good with the makeup.
Yeah.
Because those, especially for the crossplay or whatever, like the makeup becomes a lot more important.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And to be honest, I feel like crossplay is so much more fun. Because it requires you to work a little bit harder, I think. And by no, this is no offense to those who do, but there are. Oh, how do I word this without sounding like a right dick? There are pretty girls who do pretty cosplay, and they look like themselves in a wig, and that's fine. That is perfectly fine. But I don't want to do that. I want to look like somebody else. I want to look like the character. I'm dressing up as a character because I want to be that character. I don't want to be myself dressed as that character. So I think feel like the crossplay ones are better for me because I actually have to become that character because it's a man, but not a lady. So, yeah, I'll have to say, like, for example, the ball cap test that I did, I was going to try and make it into a character from Attack on Titan. No idea what he's called. I just know he's bald with a beard. But I didn't have a beard. As you do, you know, I don't have one of those lying around. It's just a shame. I should really have a beard stash.
Yeah. Soon.
Oh my God, there we go. eBay, I need a beard.
And yeah, I really like the Nebula video because it showed you kind of experimenting and you know, the trials and tribulations, I guess, you know, not just the finished product. It's like the steps that go along and, you know, maybe some stumbles along the way. And
Definitely. I think that's what people need to see. Sometimes, I mean, I know that with makeup tutorials, the reason you're watching them is because you want to know how to do it properly. Whereas the videos I want to show is the steps I use to get there. Like, I know that a lot of people always see the finished product and they're like, oh, it's so good. It's like, yeah, but you don't know that it took me 87 hours to get there. You know, or it took me 3 different attempts, 18 different wig caps, and, you know, 7 poked eyes or whatever. Or in my case for Goza, you know, 5 burnt fingers and the skin ripped off my leg. You know, no one gets to see that. They see the finished product. But, you know, the wig cap test I did was very much, this is me trying it out right now. Whether it works or whether it doesn't, you'll see. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's some of the most valuable content that I've seen on, like, YouTube tutorials and stuff where they're like, I tried it this way at first. It did not work. Do not do this.
Yeah, like, please otherwise, don't. Just no.
Otherwise, just following it, you'll be like, oh, well, I don't want to just do it this way. It'll be a lot quicker. And, like, then you'll mess up like they did.
Exactly. Yeah, like I say, I think people like to see that you're human. At the end of the day, like, you know, these cosplayers who have 87,000 million, you know, followers or whatnot are there because they provide a certain type of content, but they're still human. You know, they post what they want you to see. And I think that's what people have to remember with Instagram, especially. You know, these people don't magically become these characters in like, you know, 5 seconds, no matter what cosplay transformation makes it look like. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it's a process, you know, like anything else. And, you know, I just got to a point where I thought I might as well show you my real process. This is exactly how I do it. Whether it works or not is, you know, entirely the roll of the dice, I guess.
Yeah. Awesome. And then the other thing that you were working on last year that was really cool was the Cosplosion. How was that process?
To be honest, looking back, it was a lot easier than I you know really give myself credit for. Cosplosion was an idea that stemmed from me turning up at events and being really, really bored. I figure the likes of MCM and that are very much cosplay directed, and that's fine. That's what you go to see. That's what you go to do. But a lot of the, I'm trying not to word name people, but other events that are maybe more, stall based, you know, like where they sell merchandise and stuff like that, don't really have a lot on. If that makes sense, they have talks and things like that. But if it's not your thing, I found myself doing a lot of sitting around going, why am I here? I'm so bored. But when you ask around, so what I did a lot of research beforehand and asked locally, why do you go to this event? Like, what is it that makes it special? What makes it enjoyable and memorable for you? And a lot of the feedback I got was, oh, there was this one kid that ran up to me and he high-fived me because he said I was Spider-Man and he just looked so amazing. That was a little girl rang up to me and she cried because I was wondering. You know, it's very much about the interaction with children. It's very much about the children there because they have a habit of making anybody feel amazing. You could be dressed as, you know, Poison Ivy and feel like rubbish, but there'll be that one kid that runs up to you and wants a photo taken and, you know, it's made their day. And that's the kind of way that Cosplosion went. That was my base. You know, I need an event for children, directed at children with cosplayers. You know, what event is, you know, specific to, you know, showing heroes to the, you know, to the kids. And Cosplosion kind of stemmed from that. And the name itself actually came from one of the children at school. I went, come on, guys, you know, use your brains. I need a word for my event. Anything, go. And what it went, like an explosion. And I was like, oh, that's it. Right. Costume explosion, Cosplosion, boom. And that's essentially the baseline. I wanted an event that I could take costumed folk to and kids would bloody love it. And that's what we did. I mean, it was a very, very stressful process. Don't get me wrong. You know, I was very, very lucky that I'm surrounded by, you know, such lovely people. I have a lot of good friends with, you know, really good costumes as well. I have to give them credit. They were quality stuff and said, I want to do this event. You're never going to get paid. I'm really sorry. But this is the kind of vision I have for it. Would you be up for it? And a lot of people went, yep, that sounds great to me. And a lot of people volunteered to do activities. So Cosplosion ended up being an event at a museum. And within it, we had like stations of activities for children. So we had Ghostbusters doing like making slime. You could get your photo taken on a green screen with a proton pack. You know, and just, you know, be a Ghostbuster for the day, really. And they did a ghost hunt around the museum, all that kind of stuff. It was amazing. We had a mermaid there who was singing for the day, and the kids absolutely adored her. And she had like coloring in and stuff. So you get to spend time with the mermaid, you know, talk to her and, you know, draw her a picture and whatnot. We had the Party Realm there, who are a local company, and the girls inside it were fantastic. I went, what do you need? I went, I don't know, Harry Potter characters. And they turned up and they did a wand making session, which was fantastic. We had a lightsaber academy there. We had all sorts. We had the Northeast Avengers came down. They did like a superhero camp. The Spider-Man was teaching you how to shoot webs. So we had a silly string and they were basically silly stringing targets like Spider-Man would. Hawkeye was teaching them how to shoot a bow. You know, it was an amazing event. It was a stressful process getting there because I did a lot of it by myself in the sense of like documentation. And all that my friends needed to do was turn up on the date, and they did, and they came in droves, and it was amazing. And I can't thank them enough. Don't think I'll be doing it anytime soon, but you know, that's the kind of thing I'd like to do again in future because it's something that everyone seems to enjoy. So why don't we just do it?
Yeah, that's great that you had a your class as kind of a focus group for what kids would want.
Honestly, I was terrible. Like in between every like literacy lesson or numeracy lesson, right? You three sit down, you like Avengers, right? What would you like to do with the Avengers? And I'd actually been doing, I'm just thinking, I've been doing this for way longer. So I remember asking my class the year before the same question. And one girl had said, I'd love to sing with a mermaid. It's like, great, I'll write that down. I'd like to dance the Disney, brilliant, I'll get Disney princesses, fantastic. I want to use a wand like Harry Potter. Okay, great, Harry Potter. You know, kids are, well, I'm going to say they are the future. They have the best ideas because they're so innocent and they don't think about like the positives or the negatives and that. They just tell you what they're thinking. And, you know, I mean, one kid came out today with, my dad's a fire engine. Are you sure he's a fire engine? No, only on Thursdays. All right, okay. But they come out with stuff, and I did listen in on the conversations and go, right, I'm definitely doing that. And a lot of the children from my school came actually with their parents, and they all came dressed up. You know, we encouraged that. We had a costume competition specifically for like under 14s, and that was, you know, there was at least 50 kids there. It was amazing. You know, it was an amazing little event because it was all about them. It wasn't about us with our egos. It was about the children. And I didn't actually participate in any of the activities. I just walked around the whole day. And I honestly cried in the morning because I was so happy just seeing how many children were there and the kind of interactions with the cosplayers we had there. I mean, the cosplayers I had, like I say, were amazing. They really got involved. They stayed in character. And it was a beautiful day. It wasn't about the guests there. It wasn't about the traders. It wasn't about, you know, like, I'm a cosplayer and this is what I do. It was very much about the children and what they see. And they didn't see cosplayers. They saw Captain America. They saw Spider-Man. They saw Deadpool. You know, and that's what I wanted. And that's what I got. So, yay.
Yeah. Any advice for someone looking to put on an event of any kind, really?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, my biggest bit of advice, which I would give to myself next time, is make sure you have a team. Like I did a lot of the kind of subsequent organizing by myself. I had a lot of support. Like at the end of the day, you know, it wouldn't have happened without the volunteers that got involved. And I'll do a shout out to Lee Hall from Unleashed Events, who runs the local events anyway. He kind of got a lot of people involved for me. So he got a local Star Wars group and they turned up with a Wookiee. I mean, it was amazing. But the kind of subsequent organization, you know, base level was down to me, and it put a lot of pressure on me because if it didn't go right, it was my fault. And to be honest, that's how I wanted it to be. I was like, no, I've chosen to do this. This is my crazy idea. If it all goes to hell, it's my fault. But at the same time, it meant on the day, you know, I'll not, you know, name names or anything, but something happened on the morning where I really needed the support of the venue and I didn't get it. And it almost destroyed the morning for me. And I broke down on the day. I just burst into tears and I literally got a hug from a lot of people who went, right, calm down. What do you need? And it was to do with moving an aeroplane. That's how ridiculous it was. Yes, you heard correctly. Moving an aeroplane out of the main hall. Random. But, you know, if I'd had somebody else supporting me with the documentation at the time, they would have went, look, I'll sort that. You go and do this. And another shout out will be Sharon Hall, who's Lee's wife. And on the day, she was an absolute gem. She took a clipboard and went, right, you stop. What do you need? And she got everything in line for me on the day. But the lead up to it was very much me going, right, what do I need? Okay. And it cost me a lot of money as well. I will admit that it was all my own money. And it was a lot. So I'd advise anyone doing an event, make sure you have some kind of budget and don't just rely on your own money, because whilst I am proud of Cosplosion, like I won't, and I'm proud that my money went into it. Don't get me wrong. I'm proud I funded that because, you know, what I got out of it was way, way better. But it would have been nice to have a bit of cash there to go, right, I need this, this, and this, and this. Not, oh, crap, I'm in my overdraft again, but I need PVA glue for the slime, you know, little things like that. So make sure you have a team. Make sure you have even just a little bit of a budget so you're not totally overdrawn every month. But make sure that, like, if you want to do something, do it. Like, you know, I went in with this going, I want the Avengers to run it, you know, to run a hero school. That's what's going to happen. I want the Ghostbusters to be there and do a ghost hunt throughout the entire museum. It happened. You know, it can be as ridiculous and elaborate as you want, and there will be a way around it. There will be some compromises that need to be made. You can do it. You know, I think when people say reach for the stars, do it. You know, it's going to happen. So, yeah, you know, whole Shia LaBeouf, just do it.
Yeah, I think going in, understanding the expenses and knowing what is required if you want to come out of it even or ahead or not down too much, like kind of knowing what would be required in that situation is definitely valuable. Yeah.
I would make sure that like you have done a lot of research. I was lucky in the sense that the venue I had were very supportive of the event. So I didn't have to pay for the location, which was great, but it meant like all the ticket sales went back into the venue, which is fine. But if I was to do this outside of that venue, I would have had to look at location, therefore insurance, therefore paying for the location, therefore like PLI, so like public liability insurance and stuff like that. It covers so much more, which builds up the expense. So if you were going to do it to an independent venue, then either have the backing of the venue who'd be happy to support it, or make sure you have the money before you go in, because I'd hate anyone to, you know, start something and then like, you know, £1,000 down the line be like, oh, I can't afford this anymore. And it would, you know, money at the end of the day is the devil. It can make or destroy anything. And to be honest, for me, that it nearly did destroy that event, because I was like, I am spending so much money on this. I really need to stop. But I wanted it to be a good event. So I think buying things like banners. So I wanted like the timetable to be on something pretty. So I, you know, I did all the posters and things like that. But it was like, would that make the event better if I, you know, if they're there, or if I took them away, would it make the event worse? And to be honest, let's face it, it was brilliant. They were beautiful. But it was little bits of expense that I probably didn't need. So I would make sure that people listed everything first. You know, I know it sounds awful, but money at the end of the day will help that event go forward. So if you don't have it, make sure that you have some kind of backup or volunteer kind of system in place, or else it's not going to happen.
Yeah, all the little expenses can get away from you.
Well, I bought a hell of a lot of food for the cosplayers as well. We were really lucky on that day, actually, because I didn't buy millions of stuff. Like, my mum made 3 pies, which was very nice of her. But we were lucky that there was a kid who came down for the event, whose birthday it was. So the museum had put on like buffet spread for him, and we got all the leftovers. It was amazing. So much cake. But yeah, so, you know, in I was very lucky. Let's put it that way. I was very lucky with my event.
Awesome. Well, yeah, this has been really great, Amy. Do you have one final piece of advice for someone trying to start a geek brand?
I'm not sure, because I think what works for some people might not work for others. But again, it's that whole just do it. Like, don't worry about, you know, outside influence. Don't worry what people are going to think. It's not for them. It's for you. If you're doing it for someone else, and I need to keep reminding myself of this, if you're doing it for someone else, then it's not going to be fun. It's not for you. It has to be for you. So if you decide that you want to dress as a tree, go for it. You know, if that tree is going to make you happy, go for it. If you want to dress up as, I don't know, Buzz Lightyear, and that makes you happy, then go for it. It doesn't matter what other people think. And if it's to do with budget or skill set, there's always a way around it. Like, I wasn't always, I'm scared to say good at something. Like, I am very nervous. It's this whole imposter syndrome thing that I think some people suffer from. Like, I started with a bought costume, and there's nothing wrong with that. Because at the end of the day, cosplay is about playing. Not about making, it's about playing. And if you can do that, then do it. If you want to make a costume and have all that stress, go for it. You know, I'm not going to hold that against anybody. But yeah, you know, do what makes you happy and do it in general. There you go, word of wisdom. You're welcome.
Yeah, awesome. many different ways to cosplay, many different ways to have fun doing any of these kind of things.
But that's the thing. I think there's a thing doing its round on Instagram, which is saying it doesn't matter if you bought it, if you've made it, if someone else has made it. At the end of the day, it's about playing dress up. And there's nothing wrong with that. We are essentially adults in costume. So I'm sorry, but It's no more than that. And I'm happy to say that as well. So, yeah.
It's hard to take it too seriously when you put it like that.
It's a little bit, but I think I've just had to remind myself of that because, you know, I got to a point where I was like, I need new content. If I don't, then the world is going to end. And it's like, it's not, no one cares. You know, if you post up one today, Amy, and people like it, great. If you don't, you know, their lives are not going to change. So, as long as people are, you know, enjoying it. If you're not, then there's obviously something that's missing from that. You know, and we'll remind ourselves that the whole word is costume play. So make sure that you are in costume and you're playing in whatever capacity that is.
Absolutely agree. Well, this has been great. Where can people go to follow you and check out your makeup tutorials and cosplay videos and everything?
Okay, well, I'm on Facebook under Strange Porcelain. I'm on Instagram, which is the platform I use the most because I'm super vain and I like photos. And that's also Strange Porcelain Cosplay. I'm on YouTube, but I'm not Strange Porcelain Cosplay. It's under Telfrid, like T-E-L-F-R-I-D. And I've got some videos on there. My first ever tutorial on Holtzman, which now I look back is absolutely god-awful. But it's on there, and some of my silly little videos, by all means, hit me up on YouTube.
There you have it, guys. My talk with Amy from Strange Porcelain Cosplay. I really liked this conversation, and I think one of the things that I enjoyed that she stressed was the community aspect of cosplay, where you can use it as an opportunity to build this community around you of like-minded cosplayers, creating these cosplay groups, meeting people at conventions. It is definitely, and I've experienced this myself, it's definitely a community activity, and that can carry over into your cosplay brand as well. So definitely give Amy a follow. I will put a link to all of her social media channels in the show notes at underthecapes.com/episode54. And until next time, guys, I hope you got a lot out of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, I'd love any feedback on Twitter at underthecapes or in the on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you happen to be listening from. If you could leave a rating or a review, that would be immensely helpful. And yeah, I look forward to bringing you guys more content soon, and have a great day. Thanks so much for listening to the Entrepreneurd Podcast by Under the Capes. I hope this episode has helped motivate you to either start or grow your geek brand. If you like the episode, I would love if you could give us a rating and a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to be listening from. And feel free to connect with us on social media, on Twitter at Under the Capes, on Facebook at Under the Capes, and on Instagram at Under the Capes Cosplay. Thanks so much, and have a great day.